This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. I did rob that intro from one Darren Cleary, but I like to let him have some kind of influence over proceedings when he's not here. It's been a beautiful week. The sun is shining for a change. A hard-earned point in Inchicore. Another two Dublin derbies coming up this weekend. Ben, life is good. How are you?
Hello, Duty. I'm good. It's been a nice start to the week. I'm feeling very positive. As you said, sun is shining. Life is good. And two absolutely massive games. Probably ones that most people have circled on their calendar from the start of the season as soon as fixtures came out. So it's one I'm definitely looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend as a whole. It's my birthday this week, Ben. So I am hoping it doesn't get ruined by proceedings on Friday first up. I don't think it will. I'm actually feeling very, very good in what has generally been a pretty grim fixture in league terms anyway for us, but we will get there. Firstly though, Friday gone. A 1-1 draw away to Pats. Sorry, a 1-1 draw, a 0-0 draw. It was 0-0, wasn't it?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, just making sure, just double checking. A strange game in many ways, an impressive game in many others. Give me your thoughts.
I thought we were brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I think I saw a video of a basement dweller talking about anti-football and Shells can't play football and he can go back to his man's box room. But from an actual footballing perspective, I thought we're really well organised. Look, obviously fairly flat, fairly packed in the middle. You force them out onto the wings, like very, very difficult to play through. And that's what we were on the night. I think, look, there was a few nervy moments at the start of the game and you could see it around. You could kind of feel the tension in the ground. And I think overall we had the better chances and I think we deserve to win the game. Anyone with even the smallest football brain, I think, could see that.
Yeah, before the game, I was talking to the great Alan Smith and friend of the podcast, Gavin White, and I remarked to the two lads that it was the first game this season that I had the jitters for, or kind of had the butterflies. It kind of felt like a big, big game. It was obviously live on TV. Ground was sold out. There was something in the air in Inchicore, I thought. People play this down, the manager no more than anyone will play it down, and you know, that's the reason why we have a squad. But again, the starting 11, like, you're just missing so many big characters and serious footballers. That just makes it all the more impressive, doesn't it? Like, you're going there, I watched the game back, and if anyone deserved to win it, it was definitely us. We were way better in the second half. We frustrated them in the first, but doing all that, missing Paddy Barrett, Sean Gannon, Tariq, Sam Bone, who else am I missing?
Boydie.
Sean Boyd. Like,
yeah, there was, we said at the start of the year, we said last season, now even more, there is an embarrassment to riches there for us. And look, I know you probably wouldn't want to be dipping into it every week, but it's great to have that cover there. I know it's probably alarming, I suppose. Not alarming, but a bit shocked when you see it starting 11 and you're like, oh God, how is this going to go? Like, Pats, to be fair to them, have had a really good start. They've a very good attacking side. And as we said last week, you come up against back three, back five of a young Lewis Temple, Cam, who by trade is a fullback and has done phenomenally coming in as a centre half, and actually Coyler dropping back, you're like, how are they going to deal with Pat? Sligo is one thing, but Pat's is another. But they're absolutely immense. Like, genuinely, some of the best defending I've seen. Just, especially Coyler, I thought was excellent. Just a pure captain's performance, I suppose.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because again, there's a real danger that he goes under the radar. I don't think people really realise how difficult it is to go into a totally new position like that in that level of game, and even the level of game in Sligo, because Sligo did put us under major pressure at times. Like, that is a hard, hard thing to do. And when you go from the middle of the park where everything goes through you, you know, you're kind of involved in every little thing that happens, and then you go to like that wide of a back three where you can be a little bit in and out of games, you may not get as much of the ball or see as much of the ball as you think you're going to. Mark Coyle was exceptional in Sligo and there on Friday in Inchicore. Is this one of those weird things now where is Coyle going to end up settling there? Because what it does do is it lets you fit JJ back into the team with care. And I don't think you lose anything, if that makes sense. The only thing maybe would be Kerr maybe wouldn't get the same freedom to kind of go on those jaunts forward that he likes, but don't think it was on anyone's bingo cards that Mark Coyle would effectively be a centre-half this year.
I think it's just, it's probably the circumstances of it all that he slotted in there, but as you said, to slot in there so seamlessly, like he looks like he's played 100, 200 games as a centre-half.
He does, yeah. Like, and you take like a team like Pats, you said it there, they've had a good start. They're a good team. Look, we all hate them, but they are a good football team. They have a good League of Ireland manager. And we limited them to pot shots and set pieces.
Yeah, and they just couldn't break us down. Like,
no,
they couldn't pass through us. They were forced out wide. They didn't really do much when they were out wide. We always kind of had that plus one in the defence when you have Kerr stepping up, or I think Ellis was stepping up on their fullbacks, which kind of gave us a little bit more defensive solidity when it did come to them attacking. I just thought it was tactically probably really, really strong performance. I think Darren likened it to two heavyweights in his post-match. I think that pretty much sums it up. It was just a case of, well, we'll throw this at you. What do you have to counter that? Okay, we'll throw this. And it was just a brilliant game. I don't know. I've seen a lot online, a lot of noise of like, oh, 0-0 draw on TV, selling the league well. But I thought it was an amazing game.
Yeah, even on the, like we've said there about limiting Pats to what we limited them to, there's two probably schools of thought on that. I know some people take it very nervy. Like, a lot of Shells fans are very panicked by, you know, oh, the amount of crosses coming into the box and the amount of corners are giving away and giving away free kicks and silly positions. And I do get that way of thinking, but they'll do everything. Like, we just looked really comfortable in our defending. Look, we may bring him up now. Lewis Temple was phenomenal on Friday. He was really, really good in Sligo as well. But we don't put people under pressure here. Like, that's not what we're about. But feels like it could be the birth of something big. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Again, absolutely exceptional. Didn't look out of place at all. Like, again, a seasoned veteran style performance. I gave probably the highest compliment I could ever give a player after the game. I said to you, and during the game, it was a Luke Byrne-esque performance. And I think that is probably the highest praise you can give to any young centre-half coming through, because for me, that's the greatest club captain we've had up until now, and an absolutely unbelievable defender. would put his head where most people would be afraid to put their own feet. And I saw a lot of that in Lewis.
Yeah, he's also a giant, which sometimes it doesn't come across from the stand, but when you're actually beside him, he is a giant of a man, a giant.
Yeah,
and he just looks so composed, and just it is that Luke Byrne thing where I didn't mean this in any kind of negative way towards him, but I think I called him a meat and potatoes defender after the game. Where what I mean by that is he's just quite happy to defend. Like, he doesn't, like, I know Paddy obviously has that big 50-yard diag in his locker, and so does Cam. Cam has those kind of jaunts forward that he loves. I don't think Lewis Temple needs any of that. I think he's quite happy to sit there. Yeah, I'll head everything, I'll clear everything. I won't give the ball away, but I'm going to do what I need to do and do it really, really bleeding well.
Yeah, some turn of pace as well. We saw it in Sligo and probably again in Pats. Like, he's not one dimensional. I know you're not saying he is, but I think he has an awful lot more to offer. And if the performances we're seeing and what he's offering now are just scratching the surface, I think we're very, very, very lucky.
Make a shout now. The most underrated player to ever wear red is Cam Ledwich.
Oh, 100%.
He is another one. And again, look, I don't want to turn this into a thing where we just go through 1 to 11 and tell you how great everyone is, but Cam's only 24 still, am I right there? And he looks like he's been knocking around the league. Like, it's like he's a 15-year veteran. Just the way he does everything simply, but really, really effectively.
You have so much faith in Cam, and he's really kind of grown up on the pitch in front of everyone, because he came as a marauding fullback, and he had that turn of pace, and he had a bit of a temper, and you could see there was a player there, and there just is a player there. He's matured so much. He's kind of a staple of that defence now. And you're, again, it'd be similar to a few years ago where you look at a team sheet and Luke Byrne's not there. If you look at a team sheet now and you don't see a Cam, there might be a bit of a worry there.
There certainly will be. Cam's one of these fellas that you never used to hear him, or like, you know, Cam would just kind of come and go, and you mightn't see him. Like, you'd see him, but you certainly wouldn't hear him. And he always came across kind of a quiet character. I feel the last little while he started to kind of, I don't know, would you call it grow up a little bit, or?
I think it's just maturing a little bit. And like, you look at the squad, he'd be one of the more senior members of the squad.
Well, yeah, he would be. Wouldn't it be himself and JJ too long as serving at the moment?
I think so, yeah. So, like, you look at that, he's kind of stepped up to that. I think he's grown up into such a really good player. It's just probably not on your bingo cards when you saw him a few years ago. You just wouldn't know what would happen. But I just think, as you said, the composure, he is playing way beyond his years. He looked like he's been in the league 10, 15 years.
To play devil's advocate a little bit, Ben, did we ride our luck at times?
I like think you make your own luck in life sometimes.
Oh, very philosophical, Ben.
I do. I think, yeah. Look, maybe we did, maybe we didn't. Either way, we got the point, probably a fair result on the night, but if anyone was going to get three, it was us.
Yeah, the manager made that point as well in his post-match, that we kind of did look like the only team that was going to go on and win it. Pats just looked gassed in the second half, I thought. Now, I do think part of that was us. I think we smothered them and kind of sucked the life out of them a little bit as well, but we finished the game strongly. We had chances, like Ali's header. I was getting visions of that all Friday evening, Saturday afternoon. It's probably, is there a player you would less want in that position than Ali? And that's not a slight on Ali, but certainly his aerial, he wouldn't have the same aerial prowess as, I won't finish the song, but you know what I mean? He wouldn't be known for his aerial ability.
Yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it? You just, you can watch it back, you can look at it back, you can say, oh, if it was anyone else, but it wasn't, so there's no point, I don't think, dwelling on it. I think it's a, looking back, you're thinking, oh, maybe did he have an extra second where he could have taken a touch, but there's no point. No point dwelling on it.
No, say Meepo obviously had a chance. Meepo's a funny one. Loads of stuff in the question box about Meepo. I think people are kind of not getting on his back. I think that might be a bit harsh at this stage. I think a lot of people still have question marks out. The jury is probably still out on him for a lot of people. But he'll always contribute, whether he doesn't look as comfortable in front of goal as maybe he did certainly in that Drogheda game in the President's Cup, but is he contributing enough for you for the moment without scoring?
I think he does offer a lot in the attack. Obviously, very pacey player. He can get on the ball. He's very direct. He can run at you. He can make stuff happen. But I think you can kind of understand frustrations where, like, people are saying maybe he's not getting goals, but so it's all about confidence, for especially for that position. Like, once one goes in, it's like a bus, two more will come. But I think it's very, very early to be harshly judging him. I think it's such a small sample size to judge a player off. I think he has an awful lot more to offer. And I think when it does click, he'll be a really good player for us.
In a similar kind of vein to that one, it's probably Ellis Chapman at the moment. Now, I have to say, I wasn't overly enthused on Friday. But when I watched the game back Sunday, that was definitely his best performance he's put in.
Yeah, I think I was the exact same when I did watch it back. I was like, hold on, I've missed a trick here, because himself and Kerr, in terms of their pressing and how he set up, were very, very important, actually, when you do watch it back. And I think maybe because he's not doing the highlight stuff, and he's not maybe throwing those balls into the box or getting on the ball and running at three or four players, and you don't see the whole game, I suppose, on a match night. It was probably a bit too harsh to judge, because I was similar to yourself, where I was like, I just didn't really see it on the night. I was like, I just thought he wasn't really at it, but watching the game back, he played a much bigger role than I thought.
Yeah, and an interesting point on Ellis, and it's somebody said this to me, and I hadn't thought of it this way at all. He's gone from playing in a Sligo team that wouldn't necessarily have been bossing games. Like, he would have been in a lot of positions where he'd have more space, a lot more kind of freedom, if you like. Like, we're certainly not a rigid team, but you can tell, like, there's set things that are supposed to happen. And I think Ellis was just kind of given a bit more freedom in Sligo, that maybe he stood out a little bit more. And look, has he set the world alight? No, I'm sure I interviewed him today at the pre-match media day ahead of the Bulls game on Friday. And like, he said himself, he's really frustrated with the start he's had, in that he got injured and he felt like he's been catching up. But he did say Friday felt good, and he kind of felt like he was getting somewhere close to his best. So he actually, interestingly, has mentioned about wanting to score. Like, a lot of times the players won't give you that much. They won't give anything away. he did. He basically said he was dying to score and get on the score sheet. And just the reason I want to focus on analysis a bit is we got a message in off from Sean, and he said, some lad beside me in the stand on Friday spent the whole game giving abuse to Chapman. Fair enough, Ellis probably hasn't been as impressive as most would have thought, but he certainly doesn't deserve any abuse. Even the Pats fans were telling this lad to shut up. Like, I get frustration to know people will... We do ourselves, Ben, watching games. Somebody will pass it instead of shooting, or they'll shoot instead of passing, and you'll say, oh, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you'll let a little roar, which is fine. That happens. People get frustrated. But singling out players for a stick, I'm not...
Singling out
your own. Like, we've had enough absolute fucking donkeys play for this club that have deserved abuse purely for their lack of effort. Don't even take in football ability to it. But
we've said before, we've seen mercenaries come through the door, and every single one of these lads are far from that. So I would never understand, like, hurling abuse at your own player. Support them, back them, get behind them. Look, everyone can make a mistake. If they're second to a ball, it's, oh, well, next one. Get, like, is that easier to say than, what are you doing? Get there quicker. Or am I just going a bit mad here?
No, I don't know. I was going to go full, oh, man, shouts at clouds job there, but I won't. I won't on this occasion. But that's a modern thing, I think. It's like everyone wants to be angry at boards now. Do you know, I think it's more like the Premier League type of thing. Like, oh, we've lost two matches on the bounce. Sack the board. Like, it's not really how it works. But I'm not saying sack airboard either. Jesus, no. Let's get that one straight. One real negative to come from the game Friday, John Martin obviously went off. The manager alluded to it today in his interview, which you'll hear on Thursday, but I'll let you in on a little secret that when John Martin went down the first time, he did feel the injury, but as the manager said, John being John, the type of fella he is, he wanted to play on, wanted to try and push through it, just said he felt a little bit tight, and then obviously it went on him. It doesn't seem to be overly serious, hopefully just a couple of weeks type job, but having Boydie back now for this Friday is going to be huge, isn't it? With missing John,
I think so. I think obviously John is a massive loss because he just gives you so much in terms of pressing, energy, and to be fair, his own ability, because he can get in and get you a goal. As we said before, he's got us 9 points last year. Like, he's a game winner. He's a really big player, big loss. But as you said, Boydie is going to come in, hopefully. Because he did obviously have a small niggle in Sligo, I think it was, the manager mentioned. So hopefully, fingers crossed, everything is all right there. And he can come in and make an impact. Because, dude, we've been banging this drum for a very long time. The justice for Boydie drum, the Boydie support. We're a better team with Boydie in the team, I think.
And I'd go as far as say any team in the league would be. So,
yeah.
And I know Boydie enjoys this fixture in particular coming up on Friday. So
it's such a big one to have him back for.
Oh, it's huge. The first time I realised my love for Boydie was, I can't remember which game it was specifically, but it was in Daly Mount when he ran onto the pitch to appeal for a foul or for a penalty when he was warming up on the touchline. That's when I thought, yeah, I'm having a bit of Boydie. Boydie loves this. Very positive after the game Friday. I did put an Instagram post out. All positive, just everyone. Adam Carey, solid at the back, never looked in real danger. Al said he thought we grew into the game. Temple and Chuck were really good at the back. We haven't actually mentioned Chuck, man with the longest arms in the League of Ireland, but they certainly helped him on Friday. Chuck was, like, you're up against some seriously talented players. Forrester loves drifting into that little area where Chuck was manning, but not a bother to him. I think he's another, he's definitely grown into things now, I think. And the manager, again, I'm letting all the secrets out here. You may as well not bother watching the video on Thursday, but.
No, do watch the video.
Yeah. Watch it all from Christ. Start to finish. Watch it twice. Sorry. Don't mind me. No, the manager just mentioned the difference between like under 18s football, under 23s academy football, and then you're coming here. And like, Chuck's a young lad. I think people forget that as well. I would always be of the mind that when somebody comes from Liverpool, you just think they're like
pre-built,
ready-made. It's like, right, this lad's ready to go. Sure, he trains with bleeding Mo Salah and all this on a regular basis. So he's just ready to go. Say that again.
What of that dirt keeper that played for Pats?
Oh, he was a scrapper, that lad. Pitaluga, wasn't it his name was?
Oh, he was the Pits, all right.
Oh, he was dirt. He was cack. Absolute shy. Did he drop the clanger against us, did he? Or am I imagining that?
He dropped a few of them.
He was a shy goalkeeper.
But to be fair, I do 100% agree what you're saying about Chuck. You see it from when he comes in, like when he comes in against Rovers, like there is obviously the nerves there. He's the shouts are there. People are like, "Oh, he's safe." He's just retaining possession. And I think that's probably a trait of academy football where if there's nothing on, you just try something else. But I think he's getting that little bit of creative spark where he is just driving at people. He's making things happen. I think you see that particularly in the second half versus Pats. I think he, like when we did start to get on the ball a bit more, he did push a bit higher and you think he was causing a few problems. But I think, again, that's just growing into the environment that he's in now.
And in true Shelbourne fashion, not as many people were in touch, obviously, because things went well on Friday. Well, went well to a degree. Jordan was on, he kind of alluded to us looking on Friday an awful lot like the 2024 team. And that kind of...
just the grit, determination.
Yeah, we were up against it a bit with the injuries and obviously Boydie suspended. And we didn't really...
That's when we work best. Siege mentality. And I think it's maybe something that... I don't want to say it was forgotten, but... something that was kind of put a little bit to the side at the start of the season, but at the end of the day, it's us against the world. It always has been, probably always will be. And I think that's the best way for it to be. I love that everyone hates us.
Oh, so do I. The more people that hate us, the better. Speaking of hatred, we are going to preview that the Balls game on Friday.
God, this man is a presenter.
What do you mean?
Just such a great segue. Like, speaking of hatred...
Well,
I can I try it? Speaking of Boydie, as we were, I also did put up a question box because I keep copying off you. And I did get something from, I think it was the SFC said, Boyd suspension, he would have been the difference versus Pats.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Boydie just has the habit of... he just has that knack of getting it in the net when it needs to go.
I just think Boydie would be the difference coming on against any team, regardless. Like, he's that kind of presence. He's that kind of player. Especially in games like that, like he comes on with, he has infectious energy where he just keep running, he'll make something happen, he'll want something to happen. So yeah, you can kind of see that. I think he has a role to play if he can, and it's a big role on Friday.
Have you ever been more sure of anything than how sure you are that Sean Boyle's going to get booked on Friday?
As long as the booking is for taking his jersey off and celebrating with the Bulls fans, I'll take it.
Kane Murray also made a really good point. He basically alluded to, you know, the staff and the manager have spoken about we've been given teams oxygen, and he reckons the key to that performance on Friday gone was we didn't give them oxygen. We gave them nothing. It's a very, very good point.
That's a great point.
We made them work extremely hard for any even half chance they fashioned.
Yeah, and it just ended up being either a set piece or kind of pop shot. It's just you force them wide, you don't let them play direct, you don't let them get... It didn't seem like they're comfortable really at any stage to where you're like, they've been able to string a few passes here together, they're going to break us down, that they're going to get a clear-cut chance here. It just didn't seem to happen.
No, it didn't. And look, it's time to talk about Friday coming. We're home to Balls live on Virgin Media Sport. I don't typically enjoy the run-up to this game. I don't mind saying that. They will like to pretend that this game is just another game, but you'll see some of the social media nonsense this week would tell you differently. We mentioned Boydie back in. He may not, like that, just because Boydie's back from suspension, it in no way guarantees he's going to start the game. I don't think anyone's really guaranteed to start at the moment, but what changes, if any, can you see? And of course, working off the presumption that nobody's back from injury.
Have you not learned this lesson before, where we stupidly sat here for 15 minutes, picked two teams that were nowhere near how we'd line up?
Well, I'm more making the point is,
I think,
like, is it a straight swap? Does Meepo just start for John Martin? Like, is it that simple? Just straight swap?
I mean, I would say so, unless Boydie's fit. I'd have Boydie in if he is match fit and ready to play a full 90.
We somehow got through the Pats game without talking about Harry Wood. Again, we're not going to beat the drum about how everyone was great, but that was last year. That seems a bit harsh to say prime Harry Wood, but it really was. Harry Wood, I know people always make the joke about Arjen Robben, the whole thing of he was cutting in on his left and sticking in the corner and nobody, like, you knew it was going to happen, but nobody could do anything about it. The Harry Wood cut back inside onto his right foot, you can add that onto the list with Evan Caffrey's drag back. What are players have got typical moves for you?
Paddy Barrett switch.
The Paddy Barrett switch. Cam Ledwidge loves a little ball roll. Wasn't it that Brighton manager made that a big thing where, like, you roll the ball on your foot so you can move it whatever way you need to? Don't know what I was getting at there. That was a bit of a tangent.
No, I like it.
What are you talking about there?
That should be a question out there. Players' signature moves. It's like finishing moves in WWE games. SmackDown versus Raw.
I'm trying to think of other ones now. John Martin just generally causing chaos, just running into people.
John Martin press.
John Martin, who is the first player I can ever remember seeing who on two separate occasions in the same game headed a ball twice, like up in the air twice. Now, whether it was done on purpose or by accident, don't even think John knows that much, but
maybe he was just playing FIFA Street.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, you were talking about Harry Wood, by the way, and how great he was.
Oh, he was fucking so good. Really, really brilliant. That's actually somebody, it was Mark, I think, asked about him coming off, saying he felt it was a strange substitute to make. By the looks of it, I think he was just bollocksed. He covered an awful lot of ground, especially when John Martin went off.
He's kind of everywhere, and then he does kind of drop a little bit deeper in the second half where he's kind of getting on the ball and basically dictating the rhythm of the play. I think he's positioned really well between the lines, kind of getting there, getting on the ball, helping us move it up. I just think, as you said, he was run into the ground. Like, he gave absolutely everything. And to be fair, you've said prime Harry Wood. Harry's been playing like that since the start of the season. He started really, really well.
Yeah, he has. Friday in particular, I don't know what it was. He just looked really dangerous. And I think they were worried by him as well. He was giving off that real... There was like a second defender coming out to him all the time. And I think Pats were afraid of the wood. They definitely were.
And I can't wait for a worm on Friday.
Imagine a worm. The real question is, would you rather them do the worm in front of the Riverside or in front of the Ballybock end?
Oh, the Ballybock end, 100%. Gives you Jack Moylan kiss flashbacks.
Oh, stop, Jesus Christ. So, I don't want to be negative, but
they're going to be.
Since Duffer took over, we've only won 2 games in 8 in the league against Balls, which isn't a great return, to be fair. We've only beaten them once at home. The last two of these fixtures, one home, one away, they've both been 1-1 draws. I wouldn't go as far as to say they're a bogey team because we've had some magical moments against them, but they do tend to put on a performance against us, don't they?
Yeah, it's like anytime they play us, it's kind of like Christmas Day. They put on their best clothes and they're out to impress. They can kind of say all they want about the fixture and, oh, we don't care. It's only a little shells, but this is probably their biggest game up there with Rovers. And they always will aim to upset, especially away. Like they're going to be up for the game, very clearly.
I just think a quick start in this one is so, so important. Again, it's not the best fucking atmosphere down there at the moment.
You give
even,
them...
Even when they won the game, I don't think there was any great rush to...
No.
You know, or maybe we're going in the right direction now.
Usually, you'd see with Bulls fans, they'd have it up somewhere saying, oh, we're back, because they loved saying that they're back. It's their favourite thing to do. That and Rennie out. But I just think, as you said, don't give them any oxygen at the start of the game. You score in the first 5-10 minutes, that away end can get very, very toxic.
That I can. Moving on, Ben, we obviously had Aveen Clancy, who we mentioned last week on the pod, was called up to the Ireland women's national team for the back-to-back games with Greece and a certain Alex Kavanagh.
Oh, it's about finally, time.
At long last, got her call up on the back of Katie McCabe's suspension. People who watch Shells will scream it from the rooftops about Alex Kavanagh, but it feels now that she's finally got that recognition that she's deserved for as long as she's been playing here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just everyone knows the player that Alex is. She's unbelievable. She keeps us ticking over. She's a club icon now. And she has earned that spot and probably has been deserving of that spot for a very long time. So it is good to see that finally being recognised.
Yeah, we all here are very, very happy for both. It's great to have any kind of representation in a senior national team. So,
yeah, and I think I saw someone was saying, I don't know if I saw it online or could have been Twitter, someone said she's the youngest player capped by, I think she was 12 and she was capped by the under 15. There's something mad like that.
That's outrageous. That's an incredible stat.
I can't remember where I saw it, but I did see it somewhere. And I was like, surely, like, that's absolutely insane. But apparently it's true.
There you go. Anyway, don't mind all that fancy Dan international stuff, Ben. The real business on Saturday in Daly Mount. 7:35 kickoff. Dublin derbies on Friday and Saturday. Bowls games Friday and Saturday. I don't think I'm mentally or emotionally prepared. Is it lazy to say now that all of these games are must wins and that we need to be approaching them as must wins?
No, I think that's fair. Like, you see how tight the league is even now at the start. And like, I think you just need to be on it every single week. And this, again, is the big one for me. This is one I really want to win. I think the bragging rights are, especially for this
fixture at this point are the highest they've ever been, just with everything that's gone on there.
Yeah, I think you're probably alluding to a few players have left, obviously, to sign for Bowes. That will obviously always turn up the heat on it a little bit. It's live on TG Cahir.
Yeah, it's just, it has the makings of a box office game. You're like, you have that live aspect. You have obviously players who have gone looking to better their career and somehow ended up there. But sorry, I just love firing shots at Bowes. There's a lot of grit to this game. There's a lot of something to sink your teeth into. It's a big, big fixture.
They will have to do it without the evergreen Noelle Murray. Obviously, she was very, very, very harshly sent off in the last game. Although we'll obviously miss her ability, does offer a great opportunity for somebody, doesn't it, to come in, get a chance that, like, Noelle doesn't give up that jersey very often. So it's definitely a massive chance for some of those attacking players, isn't it?
It's just a kind of next one up situation, and it's a big chance to get. It's a big game to come into. It's a TV game. It's a Dublin derby. Like, if that doesn't get you out of bed in the morning, what will?
Here, here. As I mentioned, it is live on TG Cahir. 7:35 kickoff on Saturday, so it is a slightly different kickoff time. Just make note of that so that you do not miss kickoff time. Ben, Tolka Park now has padded seats.
Bring that bloke with the
TikTok. Fuck him. No. I heard stuff about him today. He charges for flights and accommodation and all. No.
Just to come over and sit in the seat?
Yes. Just to come over and sit in the seat and record it. So no, he can get stuffed. The first thing I thought when I seen we got padded seats was that it was get the padded seat over, let him do it. We'll hand deliver him a Roosters or something like that. But no, he can.
Judy, I think you should do your own version of the padded seat for the Shell socials. I think people really want to see what you think.
Of what, the padded seat?
Yeah, I think we should just mic you up and give you.
I don't fucking fit in it. I swear to God. That's not a great. It's a bad indictment on me there, but yeah. I did sample them today. Very, very comfortable.
So there goes the duty cam idea out the window.
Yeah, no chance. Absolutely not. We'll have seen a little teaser today. 21st of April. A certain Mr. Picotto could be renewing his little affair with Shells. I mean, Ben, it was one of the first times I was in a pub where the ceiling was sweating. It was that heaving in there. So long may that continue. But yeah, keep all your eyes peeled. Keep your eyes on the socials because something's coming on that regard.
Watch this space, I believe.
Yes. We need to do our Richie Rankins. This is a little bit... I think I've actually done back-to-back weeks on this now, but my Richie Winter is, and actually for anyone new, because I know there are some new people in the door who may be listening, the Richie Rankins is I'm trying to think what's the fairest way, because I don't really want to, you've informed me of libel and what's the other one?
Slander.
Slander. I was about to say blasphemy. That's something different again. basically, a Richie Winter is somebody who we're not really keen on. Doesn't really have a place in Shelburne Football Club. Wouldn't really be welcomed because he shafts you in cup finals. But on the other hand, a Richie Baker is an all-around good fella. You most definitely do want a Richie Baker in your stadium. So my Richie Winter for this week, Ben, it's the Pats PA fella.
You love burying PA fellas.
Ah, Jesus, Ben, he was shocking. I mean, First of all,
you came on twice.
Reading out advertisements while the game's going on is just septic. He announced how many minutes were added on when the game was over.
Yeah, there'll be 4 minutes added on at full time. What do you mean?
And he also mistook. Was it Meepo for Ali or Ali for Meepo?
He said Ali was coming on and Meepo came on.
I mean, Ben, my lamps aren't the best, as you well know. But I mean, there's a pretty glaring difference there between the two.
Yeah, Ali's number 14.
It's just, I don't know what these fellas to be doing.
But he's not a football fan, very clearly.
Yeah, has not bleeding clue. Yeah, so he is my Richie Winter. My Richie Baker, I was scrambling to find one this week, I have to be honest. I think it was a referee, or it is a referee, but not for like his performance.
Is it getting hit in the face?
More for the laugh that he gave me.
Yeah.
Was it Oliver Moran?
I can't remember. I just have watched a clip.
Who got blasted in the mush. It was the Finn Harps Longford game, I think, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ollie Moran. He got blasted in the mush by a ball and done the worst pratfall you've ever seen in your life. And it was just hilarious. So thank you, Ollie Moran, for getting hit in the face and giving me a good old laugh. Ben, your Richie Rankins, please.
I think Richie Baker, probably for me, has to go to one man, and it's Johnny Watson. Obviously a big birthday.
Yes, last yes. Week.
Johnny, 60. Look, there's not much you can say about Johnny that hasn't been said already. The absolute heart and soul of Shelbourne Football Club. He gives absolutely everything, as to Graham and Carl by his side. But it was great to see the little video done and how much it meant to Johnny. And it was great to see the reception he got after the game. With the fans giving him his little applause, and I think there was an applause on the 60th minute and a chant for Johnny, which is a brilliant, brilliant touch, and no better man, 100% deserving. So has to be the Richie Baker for me for this week.
Hear, hear. I'm not going to argue with that. Give us your Richie Winter. Give us your all-round easy to dislike type.
I've sat on this for a week, and it has pissed me off for a week because it's just ridiculous. Did you see the Cork post on April 1st?
Oh, banter. Yeah, yeah. Absolute shite.
Cork City are announcing the signing of Louf Lerpa. I'm sorry. Sorry. Like, you are a professional football club. Why are you announcing fake signings when you're also not playing very well and your fans aren't the most reasonable at, like, a lot of the time? So you've gone and done that. Like, it's just, that's tin pot stuff for me.
What are you expecting when the fella fucking does a day in the life of a League of Ireland admin? Who, honestly, right, who on this island gives a rat's about that?
I mean,
really, like, honestly, honest to God. And if you do take interest in that, you want to fucking get a hard drive check.
Just what happened to people just quietly doing their job and taking pride in their work?
Because everyone wants credit for everything. Clout. Everyone's chasing the clout, Ben. They want to be told how great they are all the time. That's exactly why. Nonsense.
I think for me anyway, in anything I do, I'd rather have the praise and the recognition from the right people than loads of people online. That's just me. But the Cork stuff is just like, look, if you want to do an April Fool's thing where you're pranking a player, you're making a video out of it, you're getting content, that's great. Fair enough, go for it. But announcing a fake player, getting was it an AI image, or they got some image done up, they photoshopped something together. And it was like 500 appearances at 18, and they tried to make it a big song and dance, and like, people actually demanded that the admin be sacked underneath the post. Like, there was a hashtag. There was an actual hashtag.
Well, Ben, if we're ever doing anything, if you ever feel that maybe we're not doing the right thing, I don't think anyone's ever called for us to be sacked. Not yet, anyway. Plenty of time.
Well, not us, but there was one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was. There was one.
He always gets at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. And you never know. He might pop up in a surprising role on Friday. Watch this space. Watch this space.
Oh, you're good at that.
Ben, that's it. We're done. We're finished. We've talked about how great we are. We've talked about both Dublin derbies coming up over the weekend.
Sorry, I will say, and congrats to Cam. He's had a pretty big week.
He has.
Birthday and child on the way.
Correct.
I think there's bit of a congratulations to go there, Duty.
Yeah, I think so. Would you believe, Ben, I was dragged along on Sunday to the baby fair.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, because obviously I do have another child. Well, I don't. I nearly went full Roy Keane on that there. But yeah, my lovely partner is expecting another baby in June. And so we went along to the baby fair. Are you familiar with the baby fair, Ben?
Thankfully not.
Yeah, anyone who doesn't want to listen to anything in their personal lives, probably better off just stopping listening now. But for anyone that does care, it does involve a Shells player coming up, so there you go. It's basically people set up stalls and try and sell you shite. That's pretty much the gist of it. An awful lot of free samples, though, which I'm always in favour of. But I had a very awkward moment where I looked over kind of across the room and went, that looks like Cam. And then I thought, nah, couldn't be Cam. So I kept walking, came around another corner, looked again and went, definitely looks like Cam. Then I realised it was, and then he copped me and I copped him. And it was one of these ones where, oh shit, I wonder, like, am I after kind of letting the cat out of the bag with him now? Does he, like, does anyone know that he's expecting a baby now? How am I going to get around this one? So, just said nothing. And lucky enough, the next day he put up on Instagram. So, there you go. Massive congratulations, Cam. It'll be the making of you. Don't worry. If I can do it, anyone can.
And Duty will have either young Harry or Harriet on the way.
I'm telling you, Ben. I'm telling you. Watch this space. Watch this space. Harry, Damien, Duty is on the way.
And what do you do for Harriet?
Harriet, Joey, Duty, maybe? I don't know. Fit them in somewhere. Anyway, look, we're talking absolute shy here. Ben, thank you very much for giving up your... Oh, it's Tuesday. I was about to say your Monday. It's Tuesday. Sorry, we are a day late because Ben has a bleeding life outside of Shells. So sorry about that.
Ben did the Book of Mormon yesterday. Busy.
Yeah. Look, we're all allowed one. I'll allow you once.
We all get one.
Yeah, all get one. Ben, thank you. And I will see you on Friday.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.